Like the only thing that's going to be able to stop the heavenly bodies will be the Fantastics. With no rules and anything legal, they're going to be on equal ground with the bodies at Summer Blast.
Before this feud is over, somebody's going to be injured even worse than what they are. They already got Jackie Fulton's knee, and I think if Bobby messes around a little bit more, see, they went after that knee right again. The heavenly bodies take advantage of every opportunity.
Well, Lane back on that knee, and there is Lane again, who got a big, hard right hand from Bobby Fulton. Now Bobby goes back after Pritchard. Jackie now has got Lane out of the ring.
They're going to double team Pritchard now over in the corner.
This match is unscheduled.
Yes, sir, Lee. Unscheduled. You saw the heavenly bodies get the win in their regularly scheduled match in 1-2-3 quick order. All right, fans, we're going to be out of time. We've got to be going. We're going to keep the cameras rolling. You'll see this match in its entirety right here next week. We'll have it all for you right here next week, fans.
Keep the cameras on.
Welcome back, everyone, to this week's Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 25 from July the 18th of 1992. We are in Polk County High School, Benton, Tennessee. Doc, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing pretty good, man. How about yourself, kind sir?
Fuck you. Harper, how's
what?
It going? I got to kick shit off the right way, so I told you to go fuck yourself. How's that sound? Okay, that's what I thought. Harper, what about you, man? You doing all right?
Doing fucking awesome.
That's great, man. I appreciate the fact the last couple of episodes I heard you rustling through your notes during the show, and I want to thank you for taking the show so seriously, unlike
I know,
Harris.
Huh?
Yeah, it's very appreciated. I'm sure the fans appreciate your commitment to excellence, and unlike Doc Turner, who just shows up and puts his headset on each and every week, you actually take this thing serious, much more serious than he does, so I appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome.
All right. Well, yeah, you know, I just wanted to say that. So, hey, let's get into things, man. We are, again, Polk County High School, Benton, Tennessee. It's episode number 25 of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, July 18, 1992. I think I got a feeling Harper's going to have his heart broken this episode based on the fact of the way Summer Blast may have been glossed over or maybe not.
I know,
we'll discuss. Yeah, I know you were a little heartbroken. We talked about that a few weeks ago on the regular Thursday show we do. But so the show kicks off, and it's a brawl. Or match, if you want to call it that, that started at the end of last week's episode as we went off the air. Remember, Bob was like, we'll show you the conclusion next week. So, basically, the teams are laying it into each other, which made for, you know, good TV. We then finally moved to the normal opening segment with Dutch and Bob. And Dutch and Bob set the table for this week's episode. We'll have a main event with Killer Kyle and Dixie Dynamite, where Dixie's mask will be on the line if he loses. If Dixie loses, he'll be unmasked. If Kyle loses, his violin case will have to be opened, and he'll have to show us what's in it. Then Cottle throws us to the rest of the Fantastics and the Heavenly Bodies match. Now, I kind of recap two segments there, the opening and the opening with the brawl and the opening with Dutch and Bob. But, Doc, you got anything else from that before we move forward?
Well, in order to show you out you as the liar that you are and how I don't prepare, let me give you some facts about Benton, Tennessee, where we are this week.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I appreciate that, asshole. Go ahead.
Benton, Tennessee has a population of about 1,000 people. So keep that in mind when you see how many of them crammed from the county and left their moonshine stills unattended from around the county and came into the high school for some wrestling. Just some quick demographics about what Benton, Tennessee might be like if you're out there listening. It is 98% white.
You kidding me?
No.
Is there a reason you pointed that out first?
If any of our listeners want to make any sort of field trips to the region to see what's going on, I just want them to be prepared.
Because we do have a very diverse listening
audience. That's right.
Audience.
And I'm looking out for all of our special people, not just the white folks like you.
What?
What?
What are you talking about?
You're the one that makes everything racial.
I don't. I just present things from both sides of the racial coin, or multiple sides.
Okay, both sides. So you're either white or you're not. I get
no,
it.
No, what? Go, come on, man.
And 20% of the population is below the poverty line.
That's bad.
That's it.
That's it. Oh God.
I was actually surprised. I thought that was a little low for the region. Yeah. But thought it'd be a little bit in the 30s or 40s.
Are you spewing out 2017 facts or 1992?
I'm doing a little mix, you know, in the new world of fuzzy truth, we can kind of just mix and match. So,
oh, the new world of alternative facts. Okay, so
these basically were true at one time, and they may or may not be true today.
Okay, all right. Anything else about Benton while you're at it?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, all right. Just wanted to get that out there. Harper, you had anything from the opening segment?
No.
Let's get going, right?
Does that feel like a true main event? Killer Kyle versus Dixie Dynamite.
You're not gonna, as Harper said, you're not gonna pop the territory every main event on a 1 hour show. And I think that's one of the things that the WWE audience today doesn't really understand as well. It's not like you're just not gonna have every single freaking episode a stellar main event that's gonna be like, it just doesn't work that way. The 3 hours doesn't help them. But
yeah. Who won that match? Because on YouTube it. At the end, it's cut off.
Yeah, I'll cover it at the end. I got it. I'll explain what happens because they do show a recap in a few episodes of how it did end. So I did a little research on that, and I do have the actual final results, and I'll share them with everybody once we get to that point. So it actually went off well the way it happened. So I was fine with the way it played out, even though it did get cut off. There's a couple episodes like that on YouTube that do get cut off. So took a little bit of extra research on the side to figure out what the fuck actually went down. But we get into things, and it's the Fantastics and the Heavenly Bodies. They continue this match again from last week. This was the opening segment of the show, unlike the da, 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 da,
yeah.
da, 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 da. We actually got the brawl at the beginning. Okay, so we get the match does become a match where they actually attempt to make it a tag match with rules, but eventually it goes on for a while, almost too long. After about 10 minutes of this, it turns back into a brawl with Cornette using his tennis racket multiple times. We also have Cornette grabbing a folding chair, getting a few chair shots in. It finally ends with the Heavenly Bodies and Cornette retreating and getting out of Dodge as they do what the chicken shit heels are supposed to do back in that day and time, and that is retreat whenever the cards are stacked against them. Even though it was 2-on-3, they were like, screw this shit, we're getting the hell out of here. So that ends that actual match. Doc, I'm going to keep going. Harper, I'm going to keep going, and then I'll let y'all go before we cover the next promo. So we go back to then Bob and Dutch. A slight nitpick here. We move to a segment with them after the brawl, and Bob says, after what just happened, Bullet Bob Armstrong has signed a match with the Fantastics and Heavenly Bodies at Fire in the Mountain on August the 8th, 1992. I felt like we needed some resolution here, though, because this airs the day after Summer Blast, which was on July 17th of 1992. I thought they could have recapped the results of Summer Blast right here, although we do find out in two segments from now why it seems to air out of sync. So I covered those last two segments. I'll throw it at you, Doc, first to see what you had.
Did you know?
Red lights on.
Did you notice that Dutch, during that match, he was still Dutch. He was throwing things around, but he was way more dialed in. He wasn't, you know, cutting the same kind of zingers. I thought it was maybe because of this is like the premier feud in the promotion, and he was taking it, you know. You're more likely to get off topic Dutch when Killer Kyle and Dixie Dynamite, but he was like sticking close to the match on this one. And I thought that was a subtle but really good thing because they were really selling this match as the top feud in the promotion.
I didn't notice it, but that would make sense. Like, you mean he didn't go off script and just start talking about, like, during the Killer Kyle match, which we'll get to in a second, where he starts talking about dropping his ex-wife on her head and
right,
and her putting him out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I did note that this was a super long match for Smoky Mountain TV.
Oh, it probably one of the longest ones we've seen in the first 25 episodes. I mean, I can recall, because I do the timing on these things whenever we're cutting the episodes, that there was the Koloffs in the Fantastics, I think episode number 2. That match went almost 11 minutes. This one was right up there with that one.
I wonder what happened to the Koloffs. I hope that their kids are growing up nicely.
I mean, I haven't Ivan follows us on Twitter, the Book in the Territory podcast Twitter feed, and I've actually exchanged tweets with him here and there. But Vladimir, you got me on that one. I don't know. Couldn't tell you. So whatever. Harper, what you had anything from those segments before I get into this promo that we're about to go through?
I'm just ready for that damn barbed wire match.
He's popped the territory.
10 feet of barbed wire.
Well, you're letting out a spoiler what we're about to hear. So let's go
to
the. I
can't wait.
I know we got a promo. You're announcing it before it's really announced. But well, I guess it did get announced already. But we got Bullet Bob, the Heavenly Bodies, and Cornette along with the Fantastics, and we have a promo here that let's just play it and you can hear what's going on with these teams.
You know, since these two teams have started wrestling each other, we've had more trouble than anybody we've ever had trouble with before. If they're not fighting in the ring, they're outside in the parking lot. They're in some area where they shouldn't be, outside the ring, in the crowd. But there's one thing we have to say. There's two problems.
Hey, I'll tell you what. First of all, you've got a lot of guts getting in the ring with us, you stinking
cow. Just a minute. No problems here. No problem. No problem. Listen, if anybody throws a punch, you're out of here. No punches. If anybody throws a punch, you're out of here. Now I'm going to make this announcement, and you're going to listen to it.
Okay.
On August the 8th, I have decided that we're going to solve the two problems that you have. The first problem is that you will not stay in the ring. The second problem is that you interfere in every match, Jim Cornette.
Hey, I never interfere.
All right. Okay. Okay. What I've decided to do is this. On August the 8th in Freedom Hall, that's on a Saturday night, I'm going to solve both problems. First of all, I'm going to surround the ring with barbed wire 10 feet high. And then we'll decide who's the best team. That's exactly right. And number two, I'm going to solve the second problem. You're not going to be allowed at ringside. You're going to be barred. That's right. That's exactly right.
Hey, wait a minute. Now I've stood here and listened to you stack the deck against my men long enough. You've tried every stinking thing that you can think of, you old fossil, to get these belts off my men and run us out of here, and nothing has worked. So now you're trying to bar me from ringside? Well, I ain't going to go for it, mister, because I'll tell you something. Whether you're the commissioner or not, we're the champions, we got the belts, and I got some lawyers, brother. And I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll call my lawyers, and I know this is America. Anybody can sue anybody for anything. I'll have this thing tied up in court for so long, right or wrong, that you'll be dead before the match comes about. I'm going to be there at ringside one way or the other.
Excuse me. Mr. Armstrong, I want to say one thing. We have always told the people that we think we're the better team of the Heavenly Bodies of Jim Cornette. He has interfered many times. Now, I'm excited about Fire on the Mountain because it's going to be a dangerous match, a barbed wire match. But I feel we're going to come out on top. Yeah. Cornette, though, to make this thing, to solve this problem, you can come down to ringside if you want there. You can come down, but excuse me, Bob, just a second.
Look at him.
Okay, listen. We'll add one more stipulation for you, Mr. Cornette. We're going to let you come to ringside. No, sir. We're going to let you come to ringside.
Right.
You can do all you want at ringside. However, from now on and from this point when I sign my name, I am the special referee for that match.
Boy, the marks got lathered up on that one, but I'll let Harper, you go first, man.
That was awesome.
it actually is a relatively long promo by Smoky Mountain standards because they don't do what Monday Night Raw is always guilty of, which is let's talk for fucking 20 minutes. I mean, that was actually a 3-minute long one, but it was effective at that. So I thought it was awesome, man.
Well, my thing is the barbed wire. It's just going to be stacked up 10 feet high going around the ring?
If you haven't seen it yet, I assume, because you're asking that. Just wait till you see it. It's akin to a chicken coop cage, I guess. I don't know how to explain it. So, it's pretty fucking badass. But it's a cage. It's a cage match with a wooden frame and barbed wires. But when you see it, you'll be like, holy shit, look at how raggedy that looks. But that's what makes it even better because it's not like so professionally made, so to say. But, Doc, what do you have from that?
My note was Corny was awesome there.
Yeah.
This is America. Anyone can sue anybody for anything. I thought that was a great line. You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago on the flagship show about that we compared Smoky Mountain and ECW. So here's my question. Was ECW, Eastern Championship Wrestling, having barbed wire matches, cage matches in the summer of 1992?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Okay. No.
So I'm just saying the similarities to me are the same because they were dipping from the same pool in some respects. But, man, I'm going to tell you that cage, at first you're going to go, that's the cage? That's disappointing. But the more you look at it, you're like, man, that thing looks dangerous too. So
yeah, it does. You're like, look at this shit they built. It's amazing that it holds up, but whatever.
What it really looks like, in my opinion, is the real cage didn't get there, so that's what they did in that afternoon to make sure they had a cage ready for the cage match.
Nah, I'm not gonna say that. I like it. I don't have a problem with it. I mean, you ain't climbing out that bitch, that's for damn sure. You're stuck in that motherfucker. You ain't climbing out of that thing. So I was good with it. But Bullet Bob, he laid down a law, you know, he's going to put the 10-5. It's the description of it is probably not the most accurate when you think of barbed wire cage after you see it, but you know, I like what they did there. I thought it was
going to be like a POW camp or something, like in the those old Rambo movies.
I guess I didn't. I don't know what I thought when I first heard it. I envisioned actual like bar. I don't know. I did not envision a wooden frame. I guess is the best way for me to explain what I envisioned or didn't envision at that. But you know, I was good with it. I like Bullet Bob is an enforcer, man. That dude gets in between those teams and he's like, you're not gonna do this right now. We're gonna do it. You know. It ain't happening right now, and I'm the law, and you're going to listen to me. So I really like that part of it. So let's move to the next segment. We got Phil Rainey, Primetime Brian Lee, and the Fantastics. Now, I'm playing this right now because this explains the gap in time and the airing of Summer Blast being out of sync with what's taking place on today's episode. When I say today, I'm referring to July 18th, 1992. It's a little weird that this airs right after the segment that we listened to where they announced the cage match. So here we go.
Wrestling fans, get ready for a big night of wrestling in Castlewood, Virginia at the Castlewood Football Field, bell time 8 p.m., Friday night, August the 7th. And don't forget the big card at Richwood Junior High School, Richwood, West Virginia, on Wednesday, August 5th, bell time 8 p.m., a 10-man battle royal. And Summer Blast 92 tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m. in Beckley at the Raleigh County Armory. It'll be Jimmy Golden taking on Robert Gibson. Two fans will search Jimmy Golden before the match. In a strap match, Tim Horner takes on Buddy Landell. Paul Orndorff teams with Dirty White Boy, managed by Ron Wright, to meet Brian Lee and Ronnie Garvin. And in a Smoky Mountain street fight for the tag title, the Heavenly Bodies take on the Fantastics. Let's hear from the Fantastics in just a moment. Right now, Primetime Brian Lee.
You know, I tell you what, Paul Orndorff and Dirty White Boy, time has come to put up or shut up. You know, it's been 2-on-1 for the last month, but now it's 2-on-2. And I tell you what, Hands of Stone can't wait, and Primetime Brian Lee can't wait till tomorrow afternoon in Beckley, West Virginia, because we have a score to settle.
Jackie Fulton, tough match with the Heavenly Bodies.
That's right. You know, Phil, when the Heavenly Bodies hurt my knee, they tried to end my career. It got 100% personal there. Well, I tell you what, tomorrow afternoon at Beckley, it's going to be payback time, just like it says, a street fight. It's not going to be a wrestling match. It's going to be a war.
Well, you know, Phil, the fans up there in West Virginia all around Beckley understand that blood is definitely thicker than water. We have spilt some blood in meeting with the Heavenly Bodies in the past. And like my brother said, they took his knee out, Phil. They tried to end our career. Because we are a tag team, we're called the Fantastics. Well, let me tell you guys something right now. A street fight's going to take place at the Raleigh County Armory. That means, Phil, that we can bring a chair in the ring and we can put it over their heads. That means that we can bring a chain in the ring and use it to our advantage. That also means if we catch Cornette, we can bring that racket into the ring and use it to our advantage. As we see it, we're going to get even tomorrow afternoon right there in Beckley at the Raleigh County Armory. I can't wait.
All right, Doc, I'll let you go first because I got a feeling you're going to say some of the same things I'm going to say about it, but go ahead.
Bobby Fulton's ready to fight, goddammit.
Yeah,
that's really.
That's how you cut a promo, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was top notch, top shelf, fired up baby face. God dang. I also noticed, did you notice that Jackie Fulton had a black eye standing there?
Yeah, they were both kind of messed up. I mean, they were selling the fact that they were injured.
Shit. This is a war, man. Shit happens in a war. I don't know how they get the, I don't know how this works to get the TV around the circuit, you know, to all the different independent stations that were carrying this and timing it out just right so that it hits at the right time.
Right.
And I don't pretend to know that. I don't pretend to understand. And to be honest, I don't really care. What I do care about is that I do think it is a miss to promote Summer Blast on your TV and then gloss over it. I feel like it doesn't provide the closure that us people who have, I don't want to use the M word, but those of us who have the hook set in our mouth and want to see these angles play out, we don't get to do that.
Yeah, I think if you know, again, we love Smoky Mountain, so it's a small criticism, but I think if you would ask Cornette like today about that, I mean, I'm sure he remembers it. He would probably say otherwise. Yeah, we did this, and we were hoping it aired this date, but you know, the way it rolled out, it ended up not airing until this date.
So I
can see why. Dude, let me tell you, when it comes to like independent TV people, I mean, Harper can tell you, the very first episode of that Wildcat Sports did, I think they played the wrong episode the following week, like
yeah,
on the TV.
That had nothing twice.
Right, and that had nothing to do with the TV production and on their part, the promotion.
Maybe you should head down to My43 and set them straight, Harper.
That's right.
So, you know, like when we criticize that, we may actually be. I think we're criticizing how they played it, but it's I mean, they probably.
I didn't like it. I'm sorry.
I didn't like it. No. I agree.
I love Smoky Mountain, but I didn't like this. Now, that being said, because they don't really give us a recap, would you like for me to read the results of the Summer Blast card quickly?
I was going to do it, but go ahead.
Okay, so we had Danny Davis and Killer Kyle fight to a draw, and remember, that'll be our main event again today.
No, not so Danny Davis and Killer Kyle. The main event is Dixie Dynamite and Killer Kyle.
That's right, DD, whatever.
You're the one PhD, and you can't even get through the first fucking match of Summer Blast without making a fucking mistake.
Who is this? I can't read my writing.
Okay, here we go. I'm sorry. So let me recap this, since Lord Asshole over here is so good, and he's got that PhD, and he's done all his research, and he can't even spit out the first match correctly. Danny Davis and Killer Kyle ended in a draw. Dutch Mantel.
Dutch! That's what that said.
Defeated Dixie Dynamite in Summer Blast. Jimmy Golden defeats Robert Gibson by DQ. I believe in another episode or two that they show a short recap of that actual match. So keep that in mind. We got Buddy Landell does defeat Tim Horner. Remember, that would have been the strap match.
Does that mean Horner's gone? He said if he couldn't beat him, he was...
No, that was a strap match. See, that's why we're clarifying. This is Summer Blast and not Fire on the Mountain. Fire on the Mountain is the I Quit match.
God, I'm so confused.
Right, exactly. That's
but I quit. I Quit is not the same as Loser Leaves Town.
Okay, shut up. Buddy Landell defeated Tim Horner in the strap match. The Heavenly Bodies, Stan Lane, Dr. Tom Pritchard, defeat the Fantastics, Bobby Fulton and Jackie Fulton, in a street fight to retain the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team titles. And then, if you recall, we've been building up this angle with Brian Lee, Ronnie Garvin. They face the Dirty White Boy and Paul Orndorff. Brian Lee and Ronnie Garvin do defeat Dirty White Boy and Paul Orndorff, and they do show a recap of that match either in this episode, or not in this episode, but another episode down the line. So we do get some recaps of it. It just airs weird. But Brian Lee and Ronnie Garvin do defeat the Dirty White Boy and Paul Orndorff. So are we straight on Summer Blast at this point? Doc, I'm talking to you.
It was a blast.
All right, Harper, are you okay we finally gave you the results of it?
Yeah.
Okay. But you're still not satisfied. You really wanted to see it. He's upset.
Yeah.
He's upset.
Fuck, man.
Salty Harper.
How they gonna do you like that? I mean, that's like a broad being like, yeah, I'm gonna give you something, and then they like, oh, I'm tired. I wanna go to
bed. Like doing this shit, bro. Nah.
Right.
Fuck this.
And they leave you sitting there. It's like, what? And then they wanna tell you, you know, they
what?
You're not meeting their emotional needs or something. Jesus Christ. All right, so let's move on. We go to Dutch and Bob and then a primetime Brian Lee promo, which is interrupted by the Dirty White Boy. They throw us to the recap of one of the Batten twins being pile-driven on the floor, if you recall that match, and primetime Brian Lee coming out to be the other Batten's tag team partner from last week. Remember, that match does end in a disqualification. This video recap is followed by a primetime Brian Lee promo. Y'all got anything before I play the primetime Brian Lee promo here?
No, sir.
All right.
Fans, I'm here with our Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion, Brian Lee. And, Brian, you've been having a major, major problem lately with the Dirty White Boy. But I believe you may have that problem solved.
You're exactly right, Bob. I've had a problem with Dirty White Boy since day one. You know, Ron Garvin being my partner's fine watching my back, but I still specialize on 101, and I want that chance. Paul Orndorff, Dirty White Boy, I'm going to get that chance at Fire on the Mountain and Johnson City and Freedom Hall, because I'll tell you what I've done. I went to the commissioner, Mr. Armstrong, and I said, I've had this problem. I want to settle it once and for all. So I signed a match, and what it is, White Boy, you see this belt? This is the heavyweight championship belt. If you beat me, you can have it. But if I beat you, you're on the next train out of here, baby.
That's one way to do it. If you win, the Dirty White Boy is out. Wait a minute.
It's a bunch of garbage. If you win, I leave town. Will you come up with something like that? It's not going to happen, punk. But you're not going to beat me. You can't beat me. If half of me was helping you, stupid horse head, get out of my face. You're the man that signed this match. What is this bunch of garbage?
Sign the paper. Don't do it out here. There's no place for it. Do not do
it. It's not right. You know it's not right. Hell, he is. He's your hand behind the commission. That's all you're doing. You are a coward, my friend.
Can you read that? What does that say? If you don't win, you're out of here.
That's right. All right, fans. Dirty White Boy, if you lose, he is out of here. All right, down and dirty with Dutch Mantel.
All right, Harper, you go first this time.
Oh, shit. All right.
I think Harper went to sleep.
Yeah, I got you.
All right.
Dude, I just can't wait for that promo.
Which one?
When they're in the fucking junkyard.
Oh, it's coming up. We're going to get to it.
Jesus Christ.
The junkyard promo is excellent. I got some questions for you.
I want to just get straight to that. Like, just skip everything else.
Menace and I have discussed that promo this week.
Yes, we have.
In our own special personal leisure time.
Right. But, Doc, okay, let's give me your thoughts on this promo, because we are getting to that junkyard promo soon.
To focus on the task at hand, I think it's textbook babyface. Primetime Brian Lee's doing what he's got to do. Man, Armstrong is busy as shit. Well, these angles are heating up. You got personal issues all over the place. And he's out there damn near every segment trying to police shit. And guess what? When you put shit on the line and you have some personal issues, you can generate some fucking heat.
Yeah, I like Primetime Brian Lee tells us that, you know, he's talked to Bullet Bob Armstrong. They've signed this match between these two, Fire on the Mountain, August 8, 1992. I like the stipulation. If Dirty White Boy does not win, he's got to leave Smoky Mountain. You know, these two have been, I guess, feuding since, like, the Volunteer Slam, wouldn't you say, or even before that. So it's been going on for some time now. I thought it was a great stipulation to make the match feel important. You know, Primetime Brian Lee, he looks great as a babyface right here, where he's willing, because what he's doing, the face should always be willing to put the belt on the line because they're a fighting champion. So he's going to give him a shot, and there's a stipulation on the line. So he's a fighting champion, and Dirty White Boy interrupts the promo, and I've said this a million times, this dude, I probably underrated him at some point. He's a hell of a promo. He cuts a great heel promo, great segment. Bullet Bob is a fucking fantastic commissioner. I know I've said that a bunch of times, but he's in between that shit. And, like, I chuckle because when you watch Bullet Bob, him standing between him, dude, he's the law. He's the law around that bitch. He ain't letting shit get out of hand. So I kind of like that, man. So I thought it was great.
Dirty White Boy is fucking great, man.
He is.
It's just a shame that he was T.L. Hopper, right?
Yeah.
WWE. And it's like, that's
And Uncle Cletus.
Uncle Cletus, too.
It's like, God, man.
Yeah, it drives home the point we make about the stupid gimmicks that they used to do and the bullshit they would hand people. So
used to do?
Well, yeah, you got that right. You give this dude that bullshit gimmick, go watch him in Smoky Mountain. I guarantee you'll be like,
God, man.
You'll be like, shit, that dude cut vicious promos, man. He was good.
He was real good.
I mean, you believe what he said.
He learned it in high school. He was down at the high school cracking heads. He knew it from an early age.
He was a headhunter.
That was a great promo. We go from that great promo, which we just listened to another, because as you heard Bob Cotto say, next is Down and Dirty with Dutch Mantel, which turns into a match between Gibson and Golden. I am going to play this, the first part of it, and then we're going to react to the rest of it.
Want to welcome everybody to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantel, and you're not. But today, I take a lot of pride and a lot of pleasure in announcing my good friend, a man I've known for many, many years, and a great scientific wrestler in his own right, Mr. Jimmy Golden. Jimmy, thank you for being on the show. And I want you to tell these fans here on Down and Dirty with Dutch, what I want to talk to you about today is your problem with Robert Gibson. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I think we both agree with this. Robert Gibson is a moron, correct?
That's exactly right.
And Robert Gibson is a moron.
Right. That's exactly right.
He's a mental deficient.
That's exactly right.
And he's a cheat, and he's a liar, and he moans and groans, and he's an egg-sucking dog. Now, exactly what are you going to do to get Robert Gibson off of you?
You took the words right out of my mouth, Dutch. Let me tell you something. He's made him a bunch of mistakes since he's been here with Smoky Mountain Wrestling. His first mistake was that he stepped in this squared circle
right.
with Jimmy Golden.
Yeah,
I've
absolutely.
Been kicking his butt. Woo! Every time he got in here, he's got
Bam.
Nothing but complaints.
Bam.
Robert Gibson, you're a liar,
right.
you're a thief, and you're a backstabber, boy. I have beat you. You know they wanted to find me. They tried to accuse me of hitting him with some kind of foreign object. I don't need nothing to beat you, Robert Gibson. I beat you since the day you come here. I'll beat you the day that you leave. And by the way, that's going to be real soon, boy. And I'm going to tell you one other thing. If you ever come out here and
Wait a second now. You're out of line here.
And Golden strikes Gibson in the ring, and these two are going at it. Golden has still got his robe on. We've had all kind of big events today, fans. The Fantastics.
All right, so if you can't see it because you're listening, the Robert Gibson interrupts that, and it turns into a match. So, Doc, let's talk about the promo first and Gibson interrupting, because we're about to enter some great stuff here with these two, and not only
Absolutely.
These two. But go ahead, Doc.
Okay, so this is the second week in a row where a brawl just turned into an impromptu match. I don't have any problem with that. I'm just kind of pointing it out. You know, you popped in because you can't keep your yap shut about Golden sunglasses. But my note here when they went to the ring was, is there anybody in the history of the wrestling business that has a better shit-eating grin than Jimmy Golden?
Nope.
He looks like a pure white trash asshole.
That is the, this is the only business where when you say that, that's a compliment too.
Right.
Compliment. Extreme compliment. Jimmy Golden looks like a white trash asshole from Harper's Mouth, but it's a compliment.
But yes. other than that, I'll wait because we got some important business to attend to in here in just a second, because business is about to pick up just a tad bit here.
Yes, it is. Harper, you got anything about the promo besides what you just said about Jimmy Golden?
No. I think those sunglasses, they're like the ones you would get free, like if you went to Swagman's and they had like a Coke promo and they'll give out the little bullshit sunglasses.
You don't know.
That's what they look like.
These people ain't going to know what Swagman's is, bro. Swagman's was a giant supermarket in the New Orleans area owned by these rich folks that lived on the Gulf Coast. So it's like it was somewhat of a chain. Think of it as a smaller type Kroger type chain. But yeah, they give you. I always said they were Ray-Bans from the 90s. I don't know if they were, but they look like Ray-Bans to me. But yes, they're so fitting on him, and they actually accentuate the shit-eating grin that Doc is talking about. I definitely agree that they do that. So, all right, here's the thing. So, you know, Jimmy is Dutch's guest. This shit gets interrupted. So mayhem ensues. Golden and Gibson are mixing it up, as you heard at the end of the promo. Golden powders out of the ring before Golden gets back in the ring, and he starts laying some punches into Gibson. It's old-school heel wrestling at its finest. Nothing fancy here unless you consider a hip toss out of the corner fancy. But again, there's nothing wrong with that in my eyes. Gibson eventually is able to gain the upper hand on Golden in this match, or this segment that turns into a match. He hits Jimmy Golden with a bulldog about 5 minutes into it. Gibson goes down for the pin when, out of nowhere, Robert Fuller, the Tennessee stud, comes into the ring to save Jimmy Golden. The match is thrown out, obviously, for a DQ. Robert Fuller proceeds to nail Gibson in the face slash head with one of his cowboy boots. Fuller also decides to take his belt off and starts just beating him like a fucking Hebrew slave. Robert Gibson, that is. Fuller also starts strangling Gibson. While all of this is going on, the bell is ringing because that's what you would do in territory days with nobody coming out. Bob Cottle is losing his mind. At one point, Bob tells Dutch, "Why don't you go in there and stop this, Dutch? Golden is your friend, Dutch." Dutch says, "Why should I go in and stop this? Robert Gibson started this by attacking Jimmy Golden during the interview." He's got a point there. Harper, what you got from this segment in this nice little bit of heel heat that goes on?
I've always wondered, why do they keep ringing that damn bell?
Because for effects?
Yeah.
I think such an annoying sound. It adds to the chaotic nature of everything that's going on.
It does, yeah. And it's like I would love one time someone would just, that was a bell. Oh, I'm sorry.
They all stop and turn around and look around at it.
Yeah, they all just stop.
You know what's funny? If like you ever
like when it's like when a kindergarten teacher turns the light off on the classroom, they're all supposed to be quiet.
Yeah.
Right. Right. But it's funny because the bell's ringing, and I mean, it's purposely done like that. And if you've ever been in the back in a wrestling show, you've been instructed ahead of time if you're supposed to hit the ring. But obviously, the instructions are wait. You know. Wait 30 seconds, 45 seconds before you hit the ring or get the cue to do so. So, yeah, it just adds to it. But it's, you know, that's what they did in territory days. I mean, how many times you ever watch Mid-South or World Class where the bell's ringing nonstop and need some help. We need some help.
Speaking of that, you know, now they've got Golden has put numbers on the board because he brought in Colonel Parker.
Yeah.
So I sure hope Robert Gibson has somebody he can call.
Yeah, man, I hope so, too.
I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll have to wait and see. But, I hope he's got his Rolodex out and can make a phone call because he's now got to even up the numbers.
I think, wouldn't you agree that Robert Gibson has some old contacts that he can probably
– I don't know. I heard him and some of his contacts had a falling out, so I think we'll have to wait till next week to find out if he's how his search is going, because he's been beat the fuck up with a boot and a belt today.
Is true.
Yeah, because he whips the shit out of him with that belt, and that just fucking adds to it.
We talked about this some time ago. You can't gimmick up a leather belt hitting a wet back, and I don't mean God, that came out.
Oh, wow.
No. Oh, Bill. Why don't you just tell us? Why don't you just tell us about building that wall, son?
No,
God almighty.
I meant a person that has a wet back. Like, Gibson's back is all sweaty.
I really want to take this opportunity to apologize to all our Hispanic and Latino friends that are out there across the BTT network.
Okay, I should rephrase.
The views of Mild Mike Menace are not reflective of Harper and I, who love all people, especially the ladies.
If you go back and listen to what I just said, I said the two different words, wet and back. I didn't say one word. What I mean is Gibson's back is wet. Leather strap.
Gibson swim across the Rio Grande?
Oh, boy. No, but I can tell you one thing. If that wall goes up, I don't know what we're going to do about Hector Guerrero in his promotion. Because
that's right.
Because we're going to have some problems on this, man.
Gibson's Hispanic too, bruh.
Oh, Jesus. That made my statement even worse because I didn't.
It sure did.
Oh, God. I'm sorry if I offended anyone. I wasn't saying that term. I was saying he's got a wet back from wrestling.
There, you did it again. Why don't you leave the humor to me and Harper?
Living a Villa La Loca.
Jesus Christ.
He's not Mexican, though.
Close enough. It's the same thing. Come on.
Jesus Christ.
We got to get out of here.
Harper,
folks.
Come on, man. Go get your education. They're not the same thing.
Whatever.
It's not. It ain't the same thing. I mean, you got you have Puerto Ricans. You have, you know, different. You actually have Mexicans. You have Colombian. I mean, it's you don't group the whole group together and say, oh, he's this. You're talking about
people. We need to send all you guys to BTT sensitivity training.
Yes, that is true. Can we get back to it since you guys want to make fun of what I'm saying?
I would love to.
All right, so yes, Golden, they lay some leather to Gibson, and we will see how this shakes out. All right, we go to the next match. Anything else before I move on?
No, sir.
We go to the next match. We got Gary Scott versus Tim Horner. And, well, you know, Horner comes out with his lightning bolt. I struggle to find anything worthwhile to talk to about this match other than Horner pins Scott, which, of course, that was no shock with the natural bridge. Harper, you got any thoughts from that match?
For that match, nothing.
Yeah, right.
I know is when they gave that kid the lightning bolt, it was the happiest day of his fucking life. That was it.
That kid probably thought he got something. It was like that promo from a few weeks ago with Tim Horner, the fastest gun in the West. You want to see it again? When Primetime Brian Lee and Dixie Dynamite start laughing, and Doc's like, "What the fuck, you sons of bitches, laughing at? You ain't did nothing." And Doc says, "It's like when my kid says he thinks he's done something. Like, okay, you ain't did shit." Yeah, but there was nothing memorable from his match. Doc, you got anything?
No. Yeah, really.
Fall asleep. That's what he's got.
And that promo.
I got that one. I got it queued up. I'm going to play it right now. The Tim Horner promo.
Let's go now to Bob Caldwell standing by with White Lightning.
All right, Dutch, right you are. And here is White Lightning, Tim Horner. Tim, a good win up there in the ring. And I know you're a little bit winded. That was a good, fast-paced match. But the guy that's really been the thorn in your side lately, the one you need to pluck out and get rid of, that's Buddy Landell.
That's right. You know, ever since Buddy Landell came to Smoky Mountain Wrestling, he's been in my face. I've been in his face. He's caused me grief. I've caused him grief. He's jumped on my head. I've jumped on his head. He strapped me. I've strapped him. I've cost him titles. He's cost me titles. Well, I'm tired of it, Landell. Time has come to a head, and I've got a match for you. It's called an I Quit match. And the only way you can win is for me to make you say I quit, or for you to make me say I quit, which is not in my vocabulary, because a winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. I'm going to get you, Landell. Put your name on the line.
All right, fans, there you heard it. Tim Horner, he wants that I Quit match with Buddy Landell, and we'll be back right after we take this time out.
God.
Okay, Harper, well, you sounds like you want to chime in, so have at it.
It's I don't know if it's because he was just working, so he's out of breath. But it's just hard to listen to. Like, it doesn't pull me in whatsoever. And it's so funny because he says, I quit. It's not in his vocabulary when he just said it 3 seconds.
That was my exact note. You just stole my note. How did he say that if he didn't know what it meant? That was the only note I had out of this. Harper jumped ahead of me.
I think y'all are being too hard on Tim on that one. He was winded. That's why I kept laughing, because he's like gasping for air. And look, man, I've been in a match where you like get on a mic after, and it can be hard, especially if it was a long winner. It's hard to talk, man. You're winded, and you're trying to talk too, so you're actually making the problem worse because you can't catch your breath. But
go out and run on your treadmill and try to just talk out loud while you're doing it, and see how gassed you get.
Right. I'll say this: even just not even run, just walk at a brisk pace for 5 minutes. And then grab a microphone and try to cut a minute promo. It's not as easy as it looks. So I give him a pass on that, although I did think it was funny. But the problem I thought was, I said the same thing, Doc. He's talking about it. I quit's not in his vocabulary. Yet he just gave us a full explanation of what I quit means. It means it's just funny. He's like, you know, for the record, he's like, yeah, I quit. You say I quit, that means you quit. If I say I quit, that means I quit.
Sounds like it's in your vocabulary, pal.
Yeah. So, but that's at Fire on the Mountain, because remember, Landell beat him in the strap match. So We need to keep that in mind, that match, that's what happens at Summer Blast. So we're now on the Fire in the Mountain. But anyway, that's all I had. Y'all ready to move on?
Sure. Yeah.
All right, so we go to Killer Kyle versus Dixie Dynamite. First, Bob and Dutch show us the recap of last week's match where Killer Kyle beat Nitro Danny Davis, but the referee reversed the decision and gave the win to Danny Davis because Kyle used the violin case. This didn't end well for Dixie. Dixie was then attacked by Kyle. So Dixie responds via this promo that I'm about to play to Killer Kyle.
Right in the
Killer Kyle, you know, last week, Double D Dixie Dynamite felt the wrath of what that violin case is all about. Well, I tell you what I did, brother. I know something's inside that thing, and I went straight to the promotion, and I said, I want to know what's in that violin case. And they said, well, I tell you what, Double D, sign the match. The hood versus what's inside the violin case. And I know curiosity killed a cat, but that ain't where it's at for Double D, because, hey, diddle diddle, I want to know what's in that fiddle, and Double D is going to come and find out.
Ladies and gentlemen, this match is a...
Okay.
Now, hold on. Wait. I got to say something before y'all start. This is Scott Armstrong. Scott Armstrong recently retweeted one of our episodes. So, he's one of the Armstrong brothers. Let's keep that in mind. Let's not insult the man too much. Because he is a great contributor in professional wrestling.
Shut up. Let's get started. Quit trying to make sure that you don't get stretched by an Armstrong. Get it? Stretch Armstrong? Get it? Ha, ha, ha.
That was very fucking lame.
Hey, diddle diddle, I want to know what's in that fiddle.
That was
that
fucking
Pop
great.
Harper. So we went to their promotion. Does that mean he said, hey, dad, can I have a match?
Oh, shut up. Now you're being an idiot. Go ahead.
I don't know. I understand that the working term, the industry term for a mask is a hood. But he's Dixie Dynamite, and it's a Confederate flag, so let's don't call that a hood, okay?
I never even made that. Never even looked at it like that. I mean, I didn't even think that when you were talking about let's not call it a hood.
Sorry.
But okay. Is that all you got? I thought you were going to come with something better than that.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry.
He stopped coming out with the sparklers. So I wonder if they got fucking got in trouble for that from the fire marshal.
Jesus.
There's no telling. I don't know. Does the Smoky Mountain area seem like an area that some of the towns they go that they would actually, you know, listen to? No, man. Some of these towns are so small. The goddamn fire marshal and police, they're all in bed with the lawmakers. So no,
these towns. It's like you're doing a BTT investigative report to uncover massive corruption in the Eastern Tennessee area,
right? He wanted to know if the sparklers got banned. I don't know. I can't recall if we see them anymore, but yeah. So who knows? That may have been a thing for where they were in the previous episodes. But anyway. Dixie, you know, again, Dixie says he felt the wrath of the violin case after being attacked. He's asked the authorities what's in the case. And the only way to find out, he's got to put his mask up on the line against the violin case. So let me say this. You know, good Southern wrestling always had a good stipulation when I was growing up, and I think that's a decent stipulation to unmask him. So, all right. On to the match. I'm going to explain this first, and then I'll play it because everyone's got to hear this. On to the match. We come to a point in the match where Killer Kyle does his pump handle slam on a Dixie, which Bob Cottle says, Dutch, you're the expert on this. What's that move called? Dutch says, that's called picking that man up and busting his brains out. It's very effective in a wrestling match or on concrete, I might add. You know what? Fuck this. I'm playing it because this shit's way too good to try to talk through it. So hold on 1 second. I'm going to cue this thing up. Harper, say something funny or stupid while I'm looking for it on here.
All right.
Well, that was real funny or stupid. Okay. All right, here we go. I got it ready.
Drop kick. That's a little bit different. Wait a minute.
What is this going to be?
Wait a minute. He's got him hooked in there. What is this? It's a...
You're the expert on this guy, Dutch. Tell me what that is.
Oh, I know the name of that. Look at that. You know what that is? That's called picking a man up and busting his brains out by dropping him on his head. That's exactly what that's called. It's very effective in a wrestling ring or on concrete, I might add.
That's called killing the guy, right?
Yeah, I did my first wife that way one time. She got swallowed out of the
picture. She never got up, did she?
Oh, yeah, she got up. She was a tough woman.
What'd she do to you after that?
Well, I had to leave.
You weren't able to walk for a while, right?
I had to leave for several days. But it was effective for a while anyway. I didn't want to hurt him anyway. But see, that move right there, what Dixie Dynamite needs right here, he just needs a little more weight. But he has stepped in the ring now, and what he has done, he has picked up. He has picked up a challenge here, but he's put something up very precious to him. I'm sure that Matt.
All right, Doc, you want to comment on this? Because the match
something
is...
Something you couldn't do in 2017.
Can you imagine on Monday Night Raw, Michael Cole saying, he dropped that guy on his head. I did that to my wife one time.
He would not be out for the next segment.
They would yank him off as the words were rolling off his tongue. He'd be off the set. Can you imagine JBL saying that? Yeah, you couldn't quite do that nowadays. But I thought it was great. It goes on a little further, and Dutch says they start talking about Dixie being wanted for a crime, and if you want to report Dixie, call 1-800-STOOGE. Yeah. To which Bob Cottle laughs. Dutch kept popping Bob in this segment, which was actually one of the beauties of the segment because Bob Cottle kept laughing. But anything else before I tell you all how this match actually ends?
Well, yeah, to me, this is the counterpoint of this is the kind of match where, yeah, there's a stipulation, yes, the main event, but this is where Dutch is getting in his one-liners that he wasn't doing when I mentioned at the beginning when it was the top feud in the promotion. He wasn't drawing anything away from the match during that match. And in this one, he can a little bit. He has a little bit more leeway to do some things.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Okay.
You got anything, Hopper?
No. All right. Go on.
All right, so to answer that question, I did do some research. Dixie Dynamite does win the match, thus saving his mask. But when Dixie opens up the violin case, he only finds a roll of tape, to which Kyle then attacks Dixie and proceeds to then tape Dixie's right wrist to the top rope. Bob Cottle says, "I have never seen anything as diabolical as this, Dutch." Kyle then wraps his right fist and proceeds to beating the shit out of Dixie Dynamite. In a few weeks, Dixie will respond to Kyle in a promo, but I did want to tell you all, like, that's actually what happens at the end of this since it got cut off. So Dixie wins, but in true territory heel fashion, what ends up happening is... Right. So I thought it was great. But anyway, that was my thoughts on that. So I don't know. We're going to give out some government cheese and disability checks, but would you agree, Doc, that that was a good way to end it? Like,
sure, why not? He wasn't going to take his mask off yet.
Right, yeah. Look, this is episode, what, 25? So we're only 25 episodes in. When did Dixie come into the promotion? Do you recall?
Very early on.
Yeah, like maybe the fourth one, maybe?
Well... I don't know, because in episode 2, actually, Scott Armstrong is on that episode as Scott Armstrong, not as.
Oh, yeah, 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 that, yeah, right. When he whips him.
Yeah, I actually think it was episode like number 5, maybe. I could be wrong, when they were in the ballroom, the what do they call it? The Knoxville Civic Studio Coliseum or whatever it was. The little building that you said was the saddest place on earth, Doc. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where he made his first appearance, because I remember that old lady, Beulah, like kissing him on his cheek or forehead or something. Beulah Bush. What a name for a ring rat. God damn.
Beulah Bush. Jesus Christ.
Harper, you like him with a bush or not?
Yeah, but, you know, you got to keep it maintained.
Comb the lice out of it.
Come on.
Little piece of snatch, huh? Okay. Let's move on. Oh man! All right, we got to give out some government cheese and then do some disability checks and all that good stuff. Before I do so, if you are enjoying the show, and I would imagine you are, if you're on episode 25, subscribe. Write us a 5-star review on iTunes. We're everywhere. We're on Podbean, Stitcher, all that good stuff. But we really do need some more 5-star reviews on iTunes. So please give us some and write a nice comment when you do click that 5-star review. We'd appreciate it. Also, if you want to know what's going on with the show each and every week, follow us at BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Harper is at CJHHudat. And the Facebook page where we post a lot of good things as well, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Also from the Facebook page, you can get your very own Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast t-shirt just by clicking the Shop Now button there. I want to also promote the patron page. Go to mikemills.podbean.com. Become a BTT Podcast patron, Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast patron, by pledging $1 or $2 a month. There are some more benefits at the $2 option. I keep saying this, we're eventually going to going to cut a episode for patron-only members. But for right now, if you want to cut a promo on Doc, or you want to contribute to the top fives that we do on the flagship show each and every week, or if you just want to, you know, cut a very long promo on Doc, go become a patron, and we'd appreciate it. Look, the shows are free. They're going to stay free. I'm not saying that we're going to take them off. So if you want to show us your appreciation by becoming a patron, please do so. I want to thank people like Matt Kovacs. I want to thank people like Big Dog Racing on Twitter, at Martin Howell, Armando Martinez, the Mullet of Morton. God, that fucking guy. Jesus Christ. I never seen a Twitter account that bugs me as much as him. But I want to appreciate it. I thank you all for your patron memberships or your large PayPal donations that you seem to be making lately. Thank you very much for that. Oh, another one. At RJ Loves Wrestling also, he sent in a PayPal donation. So thank you very much. Also, use the Amazon referral link if you're shopping on Amazon. That's a great way to help the show out without spending any extra money that you wouldn't have already spent. When you're buying products on Amazon, you can get there again. MikeMills.podbean.com. At the very top, there's an Amazon referral link. All right, y'all. Let's hand out some disability checks and do some government cheese. So, Doc, you go first, disability check-wise. What you got?
I think this episode had a lot of we're advancing hot feuds. We're talking about Fire on the Mountain. A little bit of a miss, a little bit of a tick back because we didn't get the Summer Blast wrap-up that I wanted, and Harper's about to have a shit fit over, but overall I think it's good. You got a new superstar to enter the territory this week in Robert Fuller, so I'm going to hand out 7.3 disability checks.
You gave it a lot more than I thought you would, because I'm only giving it like 6.75.
You got Corny going crazy, you got Armstrong out, you got a new card announced, you got Fuller coming in. I don't know what else you want, bro.
Well, you know what? I'm being short-sighted. I guess you're right. The ending, I guess, is what did it. See, that's a prime example where when something ends not in the greatest fashion, your memory of it is kind of skewed. You know what I mean? That make any sense? I'll give you an example. WrestleMania 30 with Daniel Bryan winning. I thought that was a great WrestleMania. But if you really look at it, I don't know how great it was throughout. So that's what I mean. You know what? You're right, Doc. I'm going to bump it up to a 7. Harper, what you got on it?
I'll give it a 7, even though I didn't see my goddamn...
He's on that Summer Blast.
Summer Blast. He's but we saw Colonel Parker came out, which was fucking awesome.
Wait, Doc O'Harper, can y'all explain the Colonel Parker thing? Because I honestly believe there's people who may listen to this that were fans during the Monday Night Wars and of WCW, and they are not drawing the connection.
Well, Robert, go ahead.
He was a manager for in a WCW, like right when the Monday Night Wars hit, he was a. He was a manager in WCW, and he was basically Colonel Sanders from the
he managed Harlem Heat.
I don't think a lot of people realize that.
And he was – so he managed Booker T and Stevie Ray, and he wore a white suit with a white hat and looked like a damn plantation owner.
Yeah, very racist. I was waiting for one of y'all to say that. Colonel Parker fit the stereotype of a plantation owner – with two very skilled African-American wrestlers.
It was a play on Colonel Tom Parker, who was the right-hand man, manager guy for Elvis Presley. But he was out there managing two black men in a wrestling ring, dressed in a – all he was missing was the mint julep to drink, and it was just silly. But that's
well,
who Robert Fuller is.
Yeah,
but Robert,
understand that.
But if you listen to Bo James, Robert Fuller had a much different career in and around the Tennessee, Alabama, Gulf Coast area kind of thing.
Right. That goes to show you that large reach from, you know, WCW, obviously on TNT, and that worldwide reach that they had and on cable television. You look at that and you're like, that would be your impression of who he was, but that son of a gun was a hell of a talent in that area, in the Tennessee area, and throughout the Smoky Mountains. So, yeah, I just wanted to draw that home when Harper said Colonel Parker, because a lot of people may not realize that. We've talked about what Jimmy Golden did in WCW, but not necessarily as much what Fuller did. So, All right. My government cheese award, ironically, we're talking about it right now. I'm going to give it to Robert Fuller coming out and laying the law down and putting the boot to Gibson's head and then laying some leather to Robert Gibson's back, his sweaty back.
His asshole. Wet back.
No, so I got to give it to that. So mine is Fuller coming out, jumping Robert Gibson because I know what's coming next. So that was my government cheese award, I should say. Doc, yours.
Mine is actually for Jim Cornette going absolutely ape shit during that promo and just cutting a big one on him and just doing his job of setting up the big feud at Fire on the Mountain.
All right, Harper, what you got?
Yeah, mine is Jim Cornette going crazy and taking a bump in a ring and acting like a spoiled brat when he doesn't get his way.
Throwing a fit. That was really good. You don't see people doing that no more. They think they're too big for stuff like that. Even heels, man. I would love to see some heels do that type of shit. Throw that baby face. I mean, throw that fit like they're, 2-year-old. So, all right. That's all I got. Doc, you want to say anything else before we wrap up this week's episode of Booking the Territories Pro Wrestling Podcast?
We got to close this son of a bitch down. So, we got to close this son of a bitch down so we can get to next week and see who Gibson calls.
I totally agree. Next week is going to be really, really fun. Harper, you got anything?
No.
All right, y'all.
Can't wait.
He can't wait. He's ready. Well, there's a couple of things that are going to happen. Teaser. Here's a teaser. We're going to be in a junkyard with the Dirty White Boy next episode. And one of the greatest
sellers.
I'm teasing. One of the greatest sellers in professional wrestling history.
Hulk Hogan.
Is going to hit the territory.
How's Lex Luger.
Sound? Roddy Piper. No? Y'all don't like that one?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
No? You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Caesar, we're going to be in a junkyard, and one of the greatest sellers in professional wrestling history is hitting the territory.
Next week's hot, bruh.
Next week's hot. So, again, 5-star reviews on iTunes. Please do it. Subscribe to the show. That way you don't miss next week's episode. We would appreciate it. And become a patron member by going to MikeMills.podbean.com and support the show that you love best, and we really would appreciate it. Other than that, for Mike and Doc, I'm going to throw it over to Harper. He's going to get us out of here. If I missed any promos from this week while we're doing the episode, we'll play them at the end. But go ahead and hit the tagline, Harper, and get us out of here.
Book it, bitch.